This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batzer. Xi Jinping, the General Secretary of the Chinese Communist Party, traveling to Moscow to meet with the President of the Russian Federation to discuss the relationship between the two countries. Economic relationship. China has benefited extremely in the discount of the price of oil and natural gas since the sanctions against Russia for the Ukrainian invasion. At the same time, the possibility of discussing weapons in some fashion flowing to the Russians, who are said to be either low on ammo or in need of material support everywhere. Gordon Chang, at Gordon G. Chang, my colleague and co-host for many years. But I turn to another story that is attached to this story of the meeting of adversaries of the United States and NATO in Moscow, but it isn't obvious how it connects. This is an NBC reporting in these last hours, Carol Lee and Courtney Cube. The White House has sought in recent weeks to tamp down its rhetoric about China, possibly providing Russia with lethal aid for use in Ukraine, an effort aimed at reducing heightened tensions, particularly ahead of Chinese President Xi Jinping's meeting with President Putin, according to four current administration officials and three former officials. So seven sources, four current, three former, a significant number. We can count on this report being credible. Gordon, thank you very much for this. How to interpret this softening, or tamping down is a euphemism for softening, the rhetoric towards Moscow? I go through just casually the CHIPS Act, the banning of TikTok discussed, the Huawei pushed aside from the United States and many of our allies because it's untrustworthy, the statements by the FBI repeatedly that China's a bad actor sending agents, espionage agents, all through American society. There's reason to believe that the Biden administration, in addition to the tariffs that it continued from Donald Trump's administration, has been extremely confrontational about China. Tamping down. Is this a surprise, and what does it mean, Gordon?
John, I think it means that the Biden administration wants to keep lines of communication open to China. It wants China's cooperation on climate change and other initiatives. And I guess they're worried that that as people have charged, that the Biden administration is pushing China into Russia's arms. I don't agree with that analysis. I think that China and Russia are thick as thieves and have been for quite some time. And I think that the Biden administration misunderstands the nature of the Chinese regime. But nonetheless, that's their assessment. And clearly, that's their policy.
Russia and China, the two revolutionary cultures, have been working together at least since Mao and Stalin. We know this from the history books. Does that weigh on Washington that you don't separate two revolutionary predator states, that the failure of the Soviet Union was not about separating it from China, which was materially much weaker than the Soviet Union in the 1980s? The Chinese Revolution is recent and depended upon, as you have taught me, Gordon, capital from Europe and America, not capital from Russia. So, do they recall the fact that the Soviet Union fell apart because it couldn't keep up with the capitalism success in the West, that China's revival depends upon capitalism from the West? Does that signify to the State Department, to people who say they want to tamp down? We're the success, not them.
Yes, John. And it's interesting because the lessons that you just outlined should be ones that China's regime is taking to heart. But it isn't, because Xi Jinping has been taking steps to close China off from the world. He's trying to deal with the world on his own terms, not the terms of the rest of the planet. And we see him with the state advancing against not only foreign business, but also domestic Chinese private entrepreneurs. So there has been increasing control over non-state sectors of the economy. This has not been good. China's economy is fragile. It is not growing at the way they report it. And yes, you'd think that they would take what you just said to heart, but Xi Jinping reveres Mao Zedong, as we've talked about. So I think that he really does believe that he can have a strong economy on a state-dominated model.
I mentioned Mao and Stalin. The other part of that story you've taught me over the years is that Mao was humiliated by Stalin. Stalin treated Mao as an afterthought. The visit to Moscow is famous for insults to Mao. Does that rankle still, Gordon, the Chinese Communist Party?
I think that it does. I mean, you hear Xi Jinping talk about the rejuvenation of the Chinese state and China assuming its rightful place in the international system. Of course, they use that line against Britain, France, Opium War, the United States, Japan, and all the rest of it. And I think that you're right to emphasize that it's not just these other countries. It's also Russia as well. And I think Xi Jinping really is lording it over Vladimir Putin. Xi had to go to Moscow to return the visit of Putin to Beijing in February of last year. But I think that essentially this meeting that we're going to be seeing over the next couple of days, Monday to Wednesday, really is Xi Jinping setting the terms of the relationship between Moscow and Beijing.
The Financial Times reports that the expectation is that Xi will make a phone call to Zelensky in Kyiv. However, we're not to take it too weightily because it is a way of acknowledging Zelensky without conceding anything to him. And the way the FT puts it, it's really a message to Joe Biden, who is in the authority position in NATO. Does Xi want to settle Ukraine, or does this help him in his advance against his neighborhood? Any turmoil, I've understood over the years, helps Moscow. Does it help Beijing?
Many people think that it does, that Xi Jinping likes the idea of the Ukraine war because it's bleeding the West and the United States. And it's resulting in what they say are discounted oil sales to China. I'm not so sure that Xi Jinping likes this. And the reason is that the Ukraine war has accelerated deglobalization. And the biggest victim of deglobalization is going to be China. And also, there are a number of other things where I think that Xi Jinping realizes that he's sort of gotten to the end of his ability to play both sides at the same time and not suffer any consequences. And by the way, John, I think that that is a motivation for China brokering that deal between Iran and Saudi Arabia. Again, enemies, China playing both sides. And I think Beijing realizing it could no longer do that or couldn't do it for very much longer.
Tamp down. That's the NBC report. Tamp down. Does that include concede Huawei, concede TikTok, concede the CHIPS Act? Is the tamping down going to continue, Gordon? We have less than a minute.
I don't think so, John, because the Biden administration has been forced to take more robust measures in those areas you just discussed because of political pressure, not only from Republicans, but Democrats and from ordinary Americans. So I think that Biden is going to be pushed to do things he'd prefer not to do, but he realizes he has no choice.
And the surveillance balloon, was that inconvenient for the State Department? You know, Secretary Blinken was on his way to Beijing to tamp down things.
Yeah, well, I think that it shows China's utter disrespect for the United States, where they thought that Blinken would go nonetheless to try to diffuse tensions. But Blinken did not oblige on that.
Gordon Chang, at Gordon G. Chang, Gatestone, Newsweek, and The Hill, commenting on what we don't know yet, the outcome of this 2 or 3 day meeting between Mao's inheritor and Stalin's inheritor, both of them smiling from the same lower place. I'm John Batchelor.